The number one thing that hurts most veterans is they lose that sense of purpose once they come out of the military. No matter how many years you serve, once you get out, you lose that regiment that you had every day. So every day you knew what you were going to do. You knew in the morning I'm going to do physical training, and then I'm going to do X, Y, and Z the rest of the day. I'll get off at some obscene hour and just start all over the next day. So you hit that checklist every day, and then all of a sudden you ETS, you retire, whatever path you choose. And there's no more regimen. And there's like running into that brick wall. And I know brothers and sisters out there, everyone feels the same thing, just at different levels, maybe. You're not alone.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Attention, attention, attention. You're tuning into the Going North Podcast. And today's special sponsor is the Going North Podcast Advancement Shop, baby. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Because we got some brand new hats now to add to the collection. So that's right, folks. We got some Going North Podcast hats, some Advance Others to Advance Yourself hats, and a few other designs. So head over to the goingnorthpodcast.com shop. Pick up a hat or two. And today on the highlight reel, builder for authors known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special awesome human for you today, courtesy of, well, I guess himself and a mutual friend, Miss Terry Brown. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. The terrific Terry yourself, who likes to write novels, historical fiction novels that won't put you to sleep, that'll actually make you learn you something. That's right, indeed. You get to learn yourself, indeed, because today's guest, indeed, he might make you learn yourself something, too, because today's wonderful guest, you're going to be in for a treat that's good enough to eat, because today's wonderful guest is an award-winning bookcaster. Y'all, you heard that right. Not only he's put pen to paper to join the business of immortality and won awards for it, but he's also a fellow podcast host as well. So he's the best of both worlds. And on top of that, he is a father, grandfather, U.S. Army veteran, and motivational speaker. So let's give it up for the RL himself, the relaxed and legendary Rich LaMonica. How you doing today, Rich?
Doing great, Dom. Thanks for having me on. It's great. Like you said, Terry brought us together, and she's an amazing human. I've had her on my show 3 times now for each of her book launches, and each time it's even more interesting. So when she said to reach out to you, I said, this has to be a great show to come on, and I'm just honored to be here.
That's right, indeed. Honored to have you, especially one of the veterans, indeed. If I'm not mistaken, what was it, 22 years of service, right?
Yes, indeed. 22 years in the United States Army. A lot of fun. And then I had to get an adult job after that. So,
well, they tend to make good men in the Army. So, I mean, well, all of the U.S. forces, but it's like, oh, okay. I guess it was adulting enough.
I walked across the stage at my retirement. The general's like, so what are you gonna do next? I said, I guess I gotta get an adult job now, something that I can't act like a kid all day long. So here we go. Now I'm here.
That's what I'm talking about, dude. That's what I'm talking about, dude. Oh my goodness, man. My goodness. So, what led you to join the Army?
Couple things. I have a family. A lot of my family was in the military. My dad was in the Army. Grandfather was in the Army in World War II. And I guess when I was little, I'd sit with my dad watching a little 13-inch black and white TV. And we were either watching wars in either Israel or Middle East or the end of Vietnam, I'm guessing. And I told my dad right at that point, I'm going to be a soldier. I'm going to do that stuff there. So it looks like it's a fun job. And he just looked at me like I was crazy then because I was only 4 or 5. And he said, yeah, whatever, it's not going to happen. And I kept it in my head. That's the only thing I was going to do. I was going to join the Army. So I went through all the grammar school, went to high school, and I was taking all the classes that just get you out of high school. like shop, graphic arts, hanging out with the girls. And then I went to go to the recruiter and they said, "Oh, your dad has to sign you up because you're too young." So I said, "All right, dad, I need you to sign this paper so I can join the army." He said, "Oh, no, you're not joining the army. Enough of us have served. You got to go to college." I said, "Oh, no, I can't because I'm not, I have no classes to get me into college." He said, "Well, figure it out." So my whole senior year, instead of hanging out like all my friends did, I was taking sophomore and junior level sciences, maths, and then of course senior level. Had to take my SATs. Somehow I passed all that and got into college. I tried my hardest to do it. I played 2 years of college football, and then I finally said, "Look, I can't do this anymore. I'm not going to school to learn anything. I'm just coming here to play football. So I'm going to join the army. You can't stop me now." And then I did 22 years after that.
That's what I'm talking about, indeed. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Sounds like my man had grit before even joining the military.
And I found a whole lot more.
There you go. That's right, indeed. It gave you the whole grocery aisle of grits, baby. That's right, indeed.
Yes. Can get the shrimps delayed.
There you go. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. I'm guessing those are the folks that didn't make it through basic training. Let me stop. Man, that's what I'm talking about, dude. So, my goodness. So, it sounds like you basically knew what you wanted to do at 4 years old, which is awesome, and able to basically fight your way to get in there, and probably had to do a lot of fighting while you're in there, metaphorically, and probably for real, too, man. So, what
Yes.
helped you to stay in there for 22 years?
I think hard-headedness is one of it. First half of my career was basically just training. The first 8 years is constantly training, learning your skills, and honing those skills. And then 9/11 happened. 9/11 happened. I was on the border of Iraq, in Kuwait, on the border of Iraq when 9/11 happened. And that just brought it all home because I grew up right out in my backyard. I can see the World Trade Center, the Twin Towers, and now I'm seeing them on a little TV burning and falling down. That makes your heart swell, makes your head get angry, and you just want to fight. So we stayed there a little longer, came back home, trained more, and got to go over and meet new people three more times after that, in exotic places. And I just kept pushing forward because once you hit 10 years, you hit the first 10 years usually the hardest. And then you have a 10-year downslide. And then I said to myself, I got to stay until at least my daughter graduates high school, which would be 22. So as soon as she was a senior, I dropped my paperwork and she graduated. I retired the next month. So it was hard-headedness plus, I guess the call to stay in because of 9/11.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, indeed. Well, thanks a bunch for sticking it in there and sticking it out. My goodness, indeed, because that's freaking huge.
No
That's right,
problem.
indeed. That's right, indeed. Yeah, especially after 9/11, since a lot of folks didn't make it back. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Well, my goodness, and if I'm not mistaken, now you're doing veteran advocacy work, right?
Yes. I try to help my fellow brothers and sisters as much as possible. I try to keep a list of resources for them. So if they call me, if I run into them on the street or a coffee shop or at a bar, say, "Look, you're not alone in this problem. People have gone through before you. Here's where you need to go to get that help. I may not have all the answers, but they'll be able to fix you. And I want you to be back here tomorrow and the next day. Keep fighting, keep pushing forward, and keep pushing to the light."
That's what I'm talking about, indeed. That's what I'm talking about, indeed. So, my goodness, so any, I guess, words of encouragement for those veterans who may be listening right now from all the times you've helped all the veterans out there, since some of them don't get the respect that they deserve?
Oh, definitely. If you feel like you're not getting that respect, or the number one thing that hurts most veterans is they lose that sense of purpose once they come out of the military. No matter how many years you serve, could it be one tour, 2 years, 4 years, or 22 like myself, once you get out, you lose that regiment that you had every day. So every day you knew what you were going to do. You knew in the morning I'm going to do physical training, and then I'm going to do X, Y, and Z the rest of the day. I'll get off at some obscene hour and just start all over the next day. So you hit that checklist every day, and then all of a sudden, you ETS, you retire, whatever path you choose, and there's no more regimen. And there's like running into that brick wall. And I know brothers and sisters out there, everyone feels the same thing, just at different levels, maybe. You're not alone. Don't think it's all a horrible fight. You can't keep moving forward. There's brothers and sisters out there that'll help you call your old battle buddies. They will answer the phone. They'll probably run to you if you give them a chance. Don't be afraid to or ashamed that you might be going through something. Keep fighting and keep staying with us, and we'll all be able to get through this all together.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about indeed. I'm talking about indeed. Yeah, because a lot of veterans definitely got to stay together, especially after that time. I was like, yeah, because you're right. The whole civilian world's definitely a whole lot different, especially nowadays where it's like, oh, yeah, no regiment here. Yeah, it's no regiment and some other stuff, too. It's like, all right, Twilight Zone swag, baby.
Oh, 100%. It's hard to
Well,
grasp
good.
sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Definitely say that again, indeed. Definitely say that again, indeed. So, my goodness, and the good news is you're able to not only do some advocacy work for the veterans, but you also found time to join the business of immortality with your magical books. What led you to become an author, my man?
Well, my second book, which is the book that's out right now, I started writing that while I was still wearing uniform. I would write and write, and then I'd erase, write and erase, write and delete. Or sometimes I was writing on paper and just throwing it in a waste bag. I don't like that and throw it out. So for a long time, I have all these notes on this book, and I never thought I was an author. I never thought I was a writer. And it wasn't until I got published during the mighty COVID pandemic, of course. During the first year of it, each month I'd write it. A little post on Facebook at the end of the month and say, look, you made it to this level of Jumanji. You made it through X, Y, and Z, whatever demons that they said we had that month. Now your next task is to make it through this level. And then at the end of the year, I said, here's your 13 steps to success. And my daughter, who's already a published author at this time, she said, Dad, you need to put that into a book. So I wrote the 13 step guide to success from 2021, January 2021, like published December 2021 with her as my editor, which was a lot of fun having my daughter be my editor. It made us grow closer different ways, you know. And, yeah. And she pushed me to get that out there. And I appreciate it 100% for pushing me and pushing that envelope to make me publish that. And then I finally said, you know what? Last year I put it on the board. I have a little board in my office here that has my goals. So I have to look at it every day. And I put finish out of the darkness. So I wrote the whole Out of the Darkness again last year, and she was my editor again. And September 11th, it's not ironic it came out on that day because that's the day the war started, September 11th, 2001. And I lost so many friends, and I'm still losing friends now. So that's the why the title is Out of the Darkness, to keep you out of that darkness. And that's when that came out. And I guess from early times, I would write in school and I wouldn't think anything of it because I was doing it because I had to. But I guess I was kind of good at it because I was getting good grades. But I never thought anything about it until I actually wrote these two books.
Well, congratulations on making it on the other side of it, indeed. It's right, indeed. It's always great when your kids manifest them, or should say, put on a magical character mode of being your life coach. It's like, all right, cool. Let's get you here. Let's be your new book coach, buddy. It's like, yep. It's like, yeah,
Yeah,
Dad.
definitely.
We're gonna make you a champion. We're gonna shape you even harder, buddy. You're gonna be full
Remember those days?
Michelangelo statue.
Remember all those days you taught me soccer? Oh man, here we go. That's what writing was.
There you go, the circle of life. Oh man. So my goodness, so basically learning the process with book one and then book two. So my goodness, so how was it like putting book two together? Was it kind of hard prep? Because if I'm not mistaken, you said you did that while you were in service. So I'm guessing there was probably some times, was it times hard to really relive some of that when you may have to rewrite it after getting out?
It was some portions of it made me get flashback to times while I was in Afghanistan or while I was in Iraq, or other places. But it also, I've learned that the more you speak about it, the more you write about it, the better you feel. So as I wrote this book, the characters are made up. Most of them are combinations of many of the men and women I served with, combined into one character, so I can get them all, as many in there as possible that I served with. There's only one that's really just one person that's in the book, and I made sure I did that character pretty solid, good solid, because that person was awesome in my life, and in combat was awesome as well. So I try to make every character good and try to develop their characters and show the battle that veteran or soldiers go through in combat, of course, to train up to go to combat while in combat, the things that they see, the things that you can't really get out of your head after, no matter how many years you're in or out, they won't leave your head. And then what happens when you come home? Like we talked earlier about, all of a sudden you stop, you hit that wall. It's the same thing when you just come back from combat. You're on for the whole time you're gone. So if you're gone a year, 365 days, you're on 24 hours a day. And then all of a sudden you can turn off. It's hard. It's hard, hard, hard to do that. And adrenaline takes over. You're becoming an adrenaline junkie. And everything you do is to stay up. And that's why I named it Out of the Darkness. Because many of our brothers and sisters, when they come home, they lose that fight to stay up. They lose that purpose. And they lose that fight to stay in the light. And they go to the darkness. And it's hard to get out of there.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely can imagine, indeed, because it's definitely rough being on the battlefield and seeing all that crazy stuff out there, and especially if you probably had some kills under your belt, too. It's like, man, that definitely takes its toll on you internally, too. So, yeah, definitely can be rough. Definitely can be rough, indeed.
Definitely ages you a lot, You see, when people take over the presidency, they may look young. Like if you look at President Obama, when he went into the White House, he looked like a young man. Then as he came out after 8 years, his face was gray, his hair was weird looking. And even George Bush, when they went a full head of hair came out, it was like thinned out hair looking crazy. That job stresses the crap out of you. And being a frontline soldier does the same thing, just a more compact time period. So people age very quickly when they go to war.
Oh, yeah. Definitely, indeed. That after presidential term photo is a beast. It's like, oh, man, age 40 years.
What happened to him? He must be horrible in there.
It's like, what could I only imagine? It's like, oh, God. The hell did y'all do to him? Like, what y'all doing there? You know, but maybe I shouldn't know.
I want to know.
It's like, you know what? I think I'm being ignorant on this one. Like, all right.
Throw the flag that's, I'm going to watch cartoons right now, and you tell someone else.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about, Dave. So any other books and the works for the future coming out, since you got two? I'm pretty sure you might be itching to write another one.
I've already started the third sequel to Out of the Darkness. It's going to be called Forged in Resilience. And I'm planning on having that out by December of this year. And it's going to be the continuation of the team that's in this book to see where they move forward to. And hopefully we get two more books out of this set right here.
That's what I'm talking about, indeed. I'm talking about these. So that trilogy action.
Yes. Like the original Star Wars. They went to every book.
Oh, yeah. Until it became so lucrative. And they're like, yep, we're just going to make a movie every year for the next 4+ decades. Like, yep, this is so good.
In November.
It's like, yep, wonderful tradition, indeed. So, my goodness, so what did you learn about yourself through the whole writing process?
I learned being resilient is one thing, and then being resilient in writing is a whole other thing. Because you can get down on yourself pretty quickly as a writer. I think every writer judges themselves the hardest. And you'll go through 8 million rewrites because you don't like it. And then you can hand it off, like me, I hand it off to my daughter. So this is good. All you need to do is not talk like you. I said, well, that's how I write. I talk like that, so that's how I write. You can't, Daddy. You can't do that. So you had to learn new things. And I think that was the toughest process, learning to write, not as me, but as a writer, and do things that way, and learn to take her advice without putting her on a blacklist for the house. So it's good.
It's like, yeah, you're embracing this coastline a little too much, sweetie.
Over on your birthday. That's it.
It's like, Daddy, what happened? The house disappeared. Oh, it did? Oh, I know. Is your birthday yet? It's about a week. Oh, check back in a week.
Come back, the tent will be gone.
Stop talking about Dave. So I guess, since you've been on both sides of the microphone as a guest and the host, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often?
I think most people ask a lot, most of the great questions. They don't ask, a lot of hosts don't ask like who your heroes were and stuff like that, but enough do ask it. Who do you look up to? Who's your mentors and such like that? Those are questions that usually help others, because maybe if it's a leader in history or a leader in the world, they'll look into their history and maybe get something out of it. So that's a question that I like to answer as well.
Yeah, so who are your heroes?
Good question. So number one is my dad, 100% my dad. He's my mentor. He still is now, 80, 84 years old now, and he still gives me advice, sage advice.
Woohoo!
And he's a little more crass now because he's 84 years old. So I guess when you become 84, you're like being a teenager again. And so he just speaks his mind a little more now. So you guys got to be careful what you ask him. But it's awesome to have that outlet with him and call him and talk to him and talk about everything now. I try to be the voice of reason sometimes for him, to calm him down about the political issues and such, and tell him what he can and can't control. I mean, there's things we can't control as humans. We can't control what happens on 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. There's no way we can control it unless we become 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. So I try to calm him down that aspect. And number two, Colin Powell. I looked up to him basically my whole career. I read his books. I read things he did in Vietnam, things he did through Desert Storm, as a soldier, and then as a statesman. Great leader, great advocate for everybody, for communities to grow peacefully and grow healthily with each other. A great human being. It was horrible when we lost him. He had so much more to offer the world. As a human being, he was a great person, and he left a lot on the table when he passed. And third, it's kind of a two-parter. My first platoon sergeant and my third platoon sergeant, Humberto Lopez and Douglas Jones. They taught me so much as a young soldier, NCO, sergeant. They taught me all the right things to do to lead, and all the right things to do to be successful in the military. And I owe them my whole career.
Ah, powerful list right there indeed. Powerful list right there indeed. That's right indeed. It's funny how the relationship dynamic changes with your parents as they age. If you're both blessed to get to that point indeed where they're nice and elderly and the filter's just gone completely, it's like, Dad, Mom, what are you doing? What are you saying?
Can't say that.
They'd be like, hey, who's the dad here? It's like,
Exactly.
yeah, it's right indeed, it's right indeed. Yep, Colin Powell too. My goodness, yes. All the stress they had to deal with, that definitely probably took its toll on him, definitely.
Yes.
Definitely. Yeah, my man had to bear a lot. Definitely a lot.
And he
Definitely
grew
a
up,
lot.
what he went through at his being a person of color going in the 50s, 60s. It was not a good time in America as a person of color. I don't care what people say, it wasn't a good time. It was still going through that change, trying to people accepting. And he was able to branch through that and become a great leader for our country. Persevered through all that. It was amazing, amazing man.
Amen to that. Amen to that. So darn sure indeed. So darn sure indeed. My goodness, such a fellow podcast host. Always got to ask one of those obligatory podcast hosting questions. My goodness, you got this fabulous show called The Misfit Nations that's still growing strong indeed, growing mighty strong indeed. Just right indeed with so many great magical episodes. 361 episodes and going indeed. So my goodness, so what would you consider your top three lessons learned from starting, running, and growing your magical show, my man?
In the beginning, I learned pretty quickly you can't do all your episodes in your Jeep. It's not a good place. Learned that pretty quickly. Also learned you don't have to buy top-end gear right away. You can grow into good gear. And as you grow into it, take those notes and lessons of the equipment that you have. Man, I have five mics in my studio right now, of all the ones that are, that the two that made the cut and the rest that just have one as travel mic now and two just didn't make the cut at all. So they're just stand here as trophies basically. But you learn to be more confident behind the mic. You learn to, like me and you are doing right now, just having a conversation. That's the best podcasting, is when you just have a conversation that's not scripted. I thought in the beginning, because I took some advice from forums to script everything, and then I didn't feel natural doing it. I felt like kind of forced into stuff. So I learned to just let it flow, just be like I'm at a coffee shop talking to somebody and having that conversation and treat that person like they're a friend that you haven't seen in forever. And it's the best thing to do. And the third thing I learned is to share the lessons I've learned with others as they start, or as they find that they hit that wall. Many podcasters hit a wall, as you know, as they hit that wall, try to give them that pump up to get out of it, get out of that funk and stay with us. Like you said, I have 360 something published already, 387 already recorded. So it took a long time to get that groove going, but I've learned to just make my schedule so my podcast doesn't rule me. I still live my life and my podcast is part of it.
Amen to that indeed. Amen to that indeed. Some wonderful jewels right there. It's right indeed. It's so true. You can grow into good gear. It's like, sure, you don't have to freaking take out a freaking mortgage, y'all. Like, don't just relax.
You can ease baby steps. Baby steps.
Yeah, exactly. It's right indeed. It's right indeed. And it's so true indeed. Sometimes it's like, oh yeah, let's script out everything. Let's make this a whole darn freaking Broadway show, dang gum. It's like, nah, we don't need to do all that, buddy.
Crazy.
That's right, indeed.
One podcaster, you can't have drinks while you're on the show. You can't have too many ums or things like that. So that's all natural. You're supposed to have a natural conversation. And this isn't Hollywood. It's a podcast. So I was just like the most uncomfortable podcast I was ever on. So I didn't put my haul into it because I felt like I was handcuffed. So it was weird.
Yep. That's right indeed. No, that's probably one of the most annoying feelings ever. It's like, darn it, get these cuffs off of me. But you're not wearing handcuffs. You know what you're doing over here. It's like, come on, let me go. Come on. Come on, let me be free and frolic. It's like, no frolicking. It's like, oh, darn it, can't frolic.
Peacock, yeah, let me fly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, full peacock. They're like, don't go full peacock. It's like, darn. Come on.
Dang it.
Full peacock.
No one goes full peacock.
It's like, come on, my feathers are amazing and fabulous. It's like, no. Like, oh, darn it. Yeah, that's right indeed. We let folks go full peacock here. That's right indeed.
Yes.
Let the feathers bloom.
Appreciate it.
That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Well, speaking of bloom, without blooming onions, the fun question for all the authors that pop on the show, your wonderful book, Out of the Darkness. If that book were a food, what would it be and why?
I guess it'd be a pizza with a beer on the side, because you want to sit there, eat that pizza and drink that beer and enjoy the whole thing and digest that whole thing.
So it's very good.
Exactly. It's beer essential.
That's I'm talking about indeed. I'm talking about indeed. Pizza and beer, y'all. That's right, indeed. If you think the PB is a peanut butter, nope. Today it's pizza and beer, y'all. Out of the darkness and into the pizzeria. Metaphorically speaking, that's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. You'll be out of the darkness and with a pep in your step. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. My goodness, coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive, and that is if you're to wake up tomorrow and you were 25 again, but you're still in the current year, what advice would you give to yourself?
Don't listen to any negativity that people give you. You are the boss of you. Do everything you can to be successful. If you fall down, get back up and keep stacking them victories.
Woohoo! That's right, indeed. Keep stacking them victories. That's right, indeed. Pile it high. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Put that extra protein on the plate, y'all. That's right, indeed. Them victories, y'all. Stack them up. That's right, stack them up. That's right, indeed. Brick by brick and stone by stone. Stack them up, y'all. That's right, indeed. Solid advice, and avoid that negativity, indeed. And the good news is, my man's all about the positivity and helping others to be their best. So for those who need to keep in contact with you and cop some copies of your magical books, what's the best way for folks to do so?
Both books are on Amazon, but you can also go to our website at themisfitnation.com, themisfitnation.com. You'll see all our episodes there, all the videos we have, all the YouTube episodes that are on there as well. Plus, you hit our little story, you'll be able to see both books and our swag as well. And then there's a contact us button on there. If you want to just chat with us, we get right back with most people within the day, as long as I'm not doing stuff in my day job.
Woohoo! Well, you heard that right, folks. Going to put a link to Rich's stuff in the show notes. They can head over to themisfitnation.com, indeed. Cop some copies of his book. Subscribe to his podcast, indeed, for some great content. And keep up with all of the things that he's doing. Because the good news is, it's only the beginning. He's still got more planned. He's got more books coming out. And who knows what else, indeed. That's right, indeed. He may take over the planet. And we all get a palm tree in the front yard. You never know.
Exactly. Palm tree and maybe a keg of beer for every person.
Yeah, there we go. That's a campaign I can get behind. That's right, indeed. Even if you're near a snow cap, palm tree for you too. You can put your palm on a pine tree.
Give you a plastic one.
There we go. As I'm talking about. Well, any parting words before we close up shop?
No, I just appreciate this tonight. This was a great chat. I had a blast talking with you and sharing Out of the Darkness, 13 Steps, 13 Step Guide to Success, and of course, the Misfit Nation with you.
If you're listening to this, that means you're one cool individual. If you want to be cooler than two cucumbers, share this episode with someone that you think will enjoy it too. And be sure to subscribe and keep being fabulous.